Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Do you agree with or resonate with any of these statements? Life doesn't always turn out how we planned or hoped it would. Sometimes circumstances don't follow our best made plans. Life can sometimes seem to be a series of shattered dreams, lost opportunities, or just plain disappointments. Sometimes what we are looking for is found in unexpected places with people or situations we never imagined. Today I want to preach from the text on the subject, seeking a savior, finding a shack. Seeking a savior, finding a shack. Matthew and Luke's gospel have different timelines for the birth of Jesus. The gospel of Luke doesn't actually mention the Magi. So we have to go to Matthew to find out the story of the Magi. And in Matthew, all that is stated is that the Magi arrive at the location where the child and the parents are. And so we need to find out how long this journey was. So following the star, the Magi's travel from their country, the location of which is completely unknown. When we read this story, we often picture the Magi's on top of their camels, following the light of the brightest star in the sky, straight to Jesus. But as with most things in life and most things that we read in the scripture, it isn't that simple as we try to make it. The journey of the Magi's was not one of grandeur, but of humble seeking. According to Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, even though the Magi were informed of the birth of Christ, they weren't sure where to find him. And we often, when we read this story, skip to the end of the story, picturing the wise men gathered around Jesus in Bethlehem. But before going to Bethlehem, they went to the city of Jerusalem. This journey was significant because it was a detour. It was a detour from their expected path, much like the detours you and I encounter in our lives. This unexpected turn in their journey reminds us that sometimes life's plans unfolds in ways that you and I don't anticipate. There's a popular proverb that suggests that life is unpredictable and unexpected events can disrupt the best made plans. And that proverb says that humans plan and God laughs. Looking for a Jewish king in the Jewish political and religious capital city of Jerusalem seemed logical. And so in Matthew chapter 2, the wise men go to the king's palace. And they inquire, where is this child that is to be born king of the Jews? Herod was the regional puppet king installed by the Roman Empire some three decades earlier, and he is disturbed by the news of this birth of this child. And his response is typical of people in power. The birth of this child could easily disrupt the existing power structure. So Herod asked the religious leaders and the chief priests and the scribes, what do you know about the birth of this king? And they told Herod that according to the prophets, the religious king who would change Roman authority and control the world would be born in Bethlehem, among the insignificant class of Judah. That's where the king was to be born. And Matthew informs the reader that those who are considered insignificant, those who are often considered unworthy of any consideration at all, can often turn out to be the agents that God uses to lead us. That would have been a good point to say amen. Because God can take a nobody, turn them into somebody, right in front of everybody, without asking anybody. Preach, Kenneth. I'm doing the best I can. According to Matthew chapter 2, verse 7, once Herod had the information, he secretly called the wise men and learned from them the exact time that the star appeared. And then, according to the text, Herod sent them to Bethlehem. The text suggests that the villain King Herod and not the star directed the wise men to Bethlehem. In Matthew chapter 2, it records that after Herod put the wise men on the right path, they saw the star again. Did the star disappear? Did the star just reappear? Did the wise men lose track of the star because they were intent on going to Jerusalem and not to Bethlehem? You see, it's easy for us to imagine atop these wise men atop their camel following the light of the Sirius, the brightest star in the night sky, following it straight to Jesus. But as with most things in life and in the Bible, it isn't that simple as we often try to make it. The truth is, the wise men got lost. Perhaps we want to believe they peacefully followed the star to Bethlehem because, after all, don't we sometimes think that if we're following God's directions, if we're following God's expectations, it's God's job to make it easy for us? Give me a straight path. Isn't that the way we created God in our own image? Genesis chapter 1, verse 7 states that God created us in God's image. But if we're honest, we often try to create God in our image. We try to shape God to suit our taste, our thoughts, and our thirst. This means we often project onto God our beliefs, our desires, our biases, onto understanding who God is rather than understanding that God created us in God's image. You know, the manual laborers see God wearing a hard hat. Corporate executives see God pictured in a pinstripe suit. Liberals believe that God is kind and benevolent. Conservatives view God as an angry tyrant with fire in God's eyes and thunderbolts in God's hands. Americans believe that God always tilts a little bit towards America. God cannot possibly love those who are enemies of America as much as God loves America. Nationalists declare that God is in favor of their particular political party. We all try to make God into the image we want God to be. It's such a nice feeling to have a God who feels the same way I do, who believes the same way I do, who votes the same way I do, who loves and hates the same way I do. But this little misdirection, this mistake in their journey is honest and enables you and me to relate to them. We all make mistakes on our spiritual journey. We all have sidetracks and detours on our spiritual journey. And it's at this intersection that the Magi discovered that the path to Jesus for them and possibly the path to Jesus for you and me is not always linear. Even the wise men initially looked to Jerusalem. Even the wise men went to the wrong place. Have you ever looked for God in the wrong places? Have you ever looked for God in the wrong faces? The wise men went to the official residence of a sovereign in Jerusalem because that's where they thought they would expect to find a newborn king, but the Christ child wasn't there. Sometimes we look for God and experience, we think we can only experience God in the palace. We have been conditioned to believe that God can only be found within the four walls of a church building with stained glass, a pipe organ, hymnals, pews, and a clergy that wears clerics. Or maybe God can only be found in a Protestant denomination, in a political affiliation, in a specific nation, or only between the pages of Genesis and Revelation. But God's presence is not confined to a specific place. And God's presence is not confined to a specific belief. The kingdom of God can be found all around us. In fact, in kindness, the kingdom of God can be found all around us in selflessness. And this kind of inclusivity is a testament to the vastness of God's love and the vastness of God's grace. You see, God's love is infused through every part of life, every part of nature. You can experience God. But sometimes our vision is not clear enough. So we look for God in the wrong peoples. I know that's not the right word. Or we look for God in the wrong steeples. The wise men followed the star, and they were seeking a savior. But their journey took them to a shack. Their journey took them on a roundabout way. Diversion, missteps. Once we have come into the presence of God, though, sometimes it is tempting for us to behave as if the journey was easy. We want to act as if we took a God's GPS, God's positioning star, and we took it directly to Jerusalem without stopping. We took it directly to Bethlehem without stopping at some Jerusalems. So I ask you one more time. Have you ever looked for God in the wrong people or the wrong things? Has your faith life had some bypasses in it? Have you ever oversimplified the story of the wise man's journey or oversimplified your own faith journey? What have you done when what you are looking for is not where you expected? To follow this star, the wise men became pilgrims. They left their home. They left their family, and they left their country behind. And this suggests to me that there might be some possessions, there might be some perceptions, and there might even be some people that you and I have to leave behind on the journey. Finally, the star and the magi's, that the magi's are following, the star stops. And they arrive at the destination. They arrive at the destination. They expect to see a royal stately palace. But instead, they are at a rundown shack. What they encountered is not what they expected. Expecting to find the Messiah in a large, splendid house might explain why these magi initially went to Herod. But what they found didn't match what they dreamed about. Oh, that's a sermon in itself. Has life ever dealt you what you did not expect? Are there some things you did not expect to happen in your life, but they happened anyway? Are there things that found their way to you that you thought would never happen to you? Has there been an aspect of your life that didn't meet your expectations? I read an article this week where the writer stated some things that they expected in life that never materialized. And then they stated some things that they expected in life that actually materialized. They expected to be born into a multi-million-dollar family. They expected their parents to be well-educated and able to teach them all about life. They expected to be a top of their graduating class, but didn't happen. They expected after college that they started a business and it would make them billions of dollars, but the business failed. And now on their third marriage, they expect to find love. Has life ever dealt you what you did not expect? The Magi found the Christ child, the King of Kings, in a peasant home. And yet, amidst the rubble of their torn and twisted dreams, these Magi found things that changed their life in that humble setting. And sometimes life takes us on detours. Sometimes life can shatter our dreams, destroying our hopes and our plans. And so if you're following a star, if you're seeking a savior, and you end up in a shack, I want you to remember God's gift of grace. In fact, may I suggest just three things to look for if you find yourself in a shack. Number one, look for God in the shack. Can you repeat that after me? Look for God in the shack. It's not just about finding God in the grand churches or religious texts. But can you find God in everyday moments of kindness? Can you find God in everyday moments of selflessness? This recognition can inspire us and uplift us in our spiritual journey. You see, the context wasn't what the Magi expected. But the Magi went there to worship. And worship is what they did. They saw God in the shack. And when life shatters our dreams, our first challenge is to find God in the shack. Secondly, I suggest that we open ourselves to giving in the shack. It would have been easy for the Magi to just packed up and turn around. No, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I came. Jesus could not possibly be here. And so it would have been easy for the Magi to just turn around and return home. After all, who would blame them? Most of us would probably have done the same thing. It had turned out not as they had planned, not as they had expected, not what they had hoped for. But they didn't turn around. They went there with gifts and they gave the gifts to Jesus. And so when our stars lead us into a shack, look for God in the shack and be willing to give in the shack. Most people will stop giving when they get into the shack experience. I've got a hoard. I've got to hold this for myself. I've got to think about me, my four, and no more. But if you think about giving in the shack, these wise men received back more than they gave. And that's the way God is. There was a song that they used to sing in the church that I grew up in, and said, you can't beat God giving. No matter how hard you try, the more you give, the more God gives to you. They received more than they gave. And the surest way to get a blessing is to be a blessing. The third recommendation, not only look for God in the shack and give in the shack, but look for grace in the shack. While the wise men were there, they experienced the grace of God. God saved them, and God redirected their lives. And when your star and my star leads us to a shack because we're looking for a savior, God's grace is in the shack. You see, life can be unfair, but even when life lets us down, we can be sure that God will never let us down. When our star leads us to a shack while we're looking for a savior, the grace of God is in the shack. Maybe someone viewing, maybe someone here has been following a star, looking for a savior, but you wound up in a shack surrounded by debris, a shack surrounded by disappointment, a shack surrounded by heartache and hay, smelly things. A shack surrounded by shattered hopes and shattered dreams. Maybe somebody you know is in a shack right now. I want to remind you that Jesus is in the shack with you. Jesus is in the shack working on behalf of you. Jesus is in the shack concerned about you. So I invite you to do what the wise men did when they followed the star, looking for a savior, and ended up in a shack. What did they do? They worshiped him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh,